Amen. So, 2020 vision is not of much help without faith. Anybody here has 2020 vision? I heard somebody say yes, Val, back there. My vision is getting worse and worse. And I'm now into progressives and multifocals and, you know, this and do. My friend used to say, God, heal my eyes or lengthen my arms. That's kind of almost my prayer. And the thing is that our sight is so important. We need it so much for everything. And people that lose their sight have to adapt and develop a higher sensitivity of the other senses. Now, I have a couple of friends who are officially legally blind. Now, to me, that seems like a very strange concept, doesn't it? Because it makes it sound like you could be illegally blind. And I really don't know what legally blind means other than the sight is very, very poor. And yet, these friends that I have there, they seem to be so, so in tune with the rest of their senses. And they can go about doing the things that most of us do, that if those of us who have sight, go home and blindfold yourself and then walk around like that for a day or two and see how that works out. And yet these folks seem to have adapted so incredibly well. And I'm here to tell you this morning that when it comes to our walk with God, when it comes to facing the challenges that life throws at us, that physical 2020 vision without faith is not of much help. And the story, and I want to go back to it, and in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8, and I want to maybe read some of that. Hebrews chapter 11, this great chapter of the heroes of the faith. Some people have called it the Hall of Fame or the Hall of Faith. Here's what it says, and you look at it, how many times the writer uses the phrase by faith. So by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was able to bear children because she considered him, that is God, faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the shore. But I want you to understand here, by faith, by faith, by faith. And if you read the entire chapter of Hebrews 11, this phrase, by faith, by faith, by faith, is used so much. But how do you like this idea of that when God spoke to him, he went even though he didn't know where he was going? I know a few of us who've been in that situation. We're going somewhere, especially back in the days before GPS and navigation systems and, you know, those triptychs from AMA that you could get and that gave you every turn and they highlighted it and you could do that. But many of us have been lost on roads because we thought we knew where we were going. And, someone has said that one of the blessings of the GPS, besides getting you to places you need to go, is that it has significantly decreased marital arguments while traveling. It's a lifesaver in many cases, and that I know it's helped us in that way. But Abraham, if you go to Genesis chapter 12, and you can read the story up to 25:11, God speaks to him, and he's like, Abraham, I want you to take your wife and the things that you have, and I want you to go to a land I'm going to promise you. And that's about all that he gets told. How do you pick up and go somewhere? I tell my kids that when I came here, I had been admitted to the university. I knew I was doing a research assistantship. I probably had $2,500 in my pocket, and that's it. I didn't know. I knew one professor here, and that was all. I don't know that I would do that again. I don't know that I would let my kids do that. But Abraham does something even more than that. He picks up his belongings and they go. And I can just imagine Sarah. And remember, they're old. They're in their 70s. Abraham, where are we going? To the land God has promised us. How long is it going to take? I don't know. How are we going to get there? I don't know. Which road are we going to take? I have no idea. Where are we going to camp for the night? I cannot really say. Abraham, why are we doing this? Because God said so. He obeyed. He went, not knowing. But in Hebrews gives us a context to what happens in Genesis of Abraham going from place to place, and he goes to Egypt, and he does things that are a little, very questionable, and then Sarah encourages him to do things that are very questionable and not pleasing to God, and they wander around, and they wander around, and they, Abraham never possesses the promised land. And he lives in tents. He's like a sojourner, a foreigner, like, well, a gypsy or a hippie or something like this. He's just moving about from place to place with only a promise that God said, leave and I will guide you. And at the end of the story, all they own is a little plot by this place called the Tree of Mamre where they are buried. But we read something in Hebrews that it tells us, and it's so important for us to remember this, that even though he went in obedience, because God said, go to the promised land, I will show it to you, he went in obedience to that, that even more than that, he was looking for something that was not an earthly city, an earthly town, that he was looking for something so much better, a city whose foundation is God, whose builder, whose architect is God. Friends, sometimes we get so hung up on the promises of Scripture or the promises that perhaps God has spoken to us directly, and we get so hung up on those things that we forget that that's not the end goal. For Abraham, the real city he was looking for was not the promised land. It wasn't an earthly city, however beautiful it was. However fertile and fruitful, remember that the promised land is always described in these wonderful terms. It's a land flowing with what? Milk and honey. It's an ancient way of saying that he was going to provide. They would never go hungry. It was always going to be lush and green, and God's provision would be there for them. As beautiful and as nice as that was, the writer of Hebrews tells us that Abraham was not really looking for that. He wasn't so worried about getting there. How many of you find it hard to drive down the Q2 at 110 if you're going to Calgary? Anybody besides me? It is too slow. Yes, very much so. And why? Because you want to get there in a hurry. We are so driven to get from point A to point B in a hurry. On Friday, when we went down to Sylvan Lake, we took all the country roads. You know how beautiful those country roads are? You know how less stressful it is to be on those country roads? You don't have to deal with RVs and a whole bunch of trucks and, you know, the worst thing of all, slow people in the fast lane and, you know, things like this. They think that because they're going 112, they have a right to be on the left lane. And you're going 135 and you want them to move. And, you know, you do the most godly thing you know how to do. You flash your lights, you get a little close, those kinds of things. Abraham was not desperately in a hurry to get to the promised land because deep down in his heart, he knew that that was not the best part about a relationship with God, that there was something better to come. Let's remember that. Whatever it is your dream, your goal is in life, maybe it's to upgrade a home or to buy a new car or retirement or to have a place somewhere in the U.S. where you can winter and get a new degree, or whatever it might be. Remember that that's okay, and God blesses us that way. But we cannot settle for that as the most important thing in our lives. There's something above and beyond that. So here are some lessons we learned from Abraham. And you can go to Genesis to read the stories again in chapters 12 to 25 around there. But we learned that Abraham trusted God. We get this wonderful phrase, that God, that Abraham believed God. And that was counted as righteousness to him. It was credited to his account as being a righteous person. And the fact that he ups and leaves the family behind other than his nephew. How do you do that? Unless you trust that whoever spoke to you, however he spoke to you, that you know that this is what you should do and that he is a trustworthy person. I was looking at a sermon that somebody had shared, and this person says, sometimes you have to trust not the plan, but the God who gave you a plan. When the plan fails, trust the giver of the plan. Because the plan sometimes doesn't work out. If you look at Abraham, he spends all 25 years wandering around. I mean, waiting for a son that had been promised to him by God himself. Waiting and waiting and waiting. Unless you trust the giver of those dreams, you are going to go off the rails. There's also obedience. And this really blows my mind. It says that God spoke to Abraham and said, leave your family and go to a land I'm going to show you. And it says that the next day, Abraham up and left. How do you do that? Obedience. Obedience. He said, I'll do. He asked, I'll say yes. And this, friends, is what Jesus is asking of all of us, to obey him. Remember the story, maybe you don't, when the prophet Samuel comes to King Saul, who's disobeyed the command that has been given to him, and this line that obedience is better than sacrifice. God wants your obedience and my obedience. The third thing we learned from Abraham, patience. Patience. Waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. This week we switched cell phone providers. You know what a pain it is to call? And it's like, you are caller number 16,095. We will be with you in 3 years. But if you don't want to wait, you know, punch in your number and we'll call you. You will not lose your place in line. Okay, it wasn't that long, but it was like 15 minutes, which seemed about as long. I don't know about you. I am a very impatient person. And Abraham keeps waiting and waiting and believing and trusting and obeying and knowing that God is going to come through. Again, part of his story is when God says, Abraham, I want you to take your son, your one and only son, your son of promise, taken up to the mountain. And what does he do? He does it. He says that he believed that even if his son was killed, that God would bring him back to life. But he had this patience to do this. And of course, ultimately, he had the right goal or destination. That it wasn't the promised land as much as he was flowing with milk and honey, but that it was a city built by God. He was looking for heaven. He was looking for a place where God dwelt. He was as much as going to, you know, the land flowing with milk and honey. It's like moving to Kelowna or something like this. As much as that seemed so appealing, he knew there was something better by being in God's presence. And so that was his goal. And that's why I think that as we look at the story, we never find Abraham saying, okay, we got to get going. We got to find that place. God, where is that place? God, where is my house? God, where is this milk and honey thing? We never read that. Because he knew that even if he got there or whenever he would get there, that his real goal was to be forever with God. Let us remember that. So what this means is that to walk by faith means to see life as God sees it and to act accordingly. This is what walking by faith is. This is what living by faith means, is to see life from God's point of view and to live accordingly. As we look at the life of Abraham, unless he was able to see life from God's perspective, it would be so hard to wait so long for the promises to come about. But he was able to see it from God's point of view. Yeah, he messed up a few times and he did some stupid things, which we all do. But at heart, he wanted to see and live by faith. And this is the great, great story, of course, we are told in Hebrews 11, that by faith, these things are accomplished. So when you can't see what truly matters, close your eyes so you can see by faith. Remember that. Don't let these eyes blind your spiritual eyes of faith to see and believe and trust God. A couple of things, three things worth remembering as we look at this story. Number one, our physical eyes see earthly reality. That's all they're good for. We need them. Thank God for eyes. Thank God for surgeries that we can have and optometrists that we can go and optical shops that will fit those things to fit us right and so we can see better. Good. But remember that those eyes can only help you see earthly reality. Faith sees a spiritual reality. Faith sees a faithful God when the plan isn't what you thought it would be. Faith sees a sovereign God when it seems like the whole world is falling apart. Faith sees hope in the darkest circumstances we face in our lives. Faith does not give up when things get tough. Faith allows us to continue to believe that God is good when life is awful. Faith empowers us to keep walking when we don't want to anymore. Faith strengthens us when we are weak, when we feel like we just can't do anymore. Faith allows us to come to God and say, God, I messed things up. I went and tried this my way. It did not work. Please forgive me. Faith allows us to see what really matters. God, His plan, people, our obedience, our trust in Him, our patience. That, friends, only comes when we walk by faith and not by sight. So I want to encourage you, as a final thing worth remembering, don't be distracted by these eyes. Don't be distracted by these eyes. Abraham could have looked at the promised land when he went to Egypt, and he could have said, you know what, this is really good. I am just going to stay here. This is amazing. This is awesome. This must have been the place God was talking about. He knew that was not the case, and he did not allow himself to be distracted. So friends, do not be distracted by the challenges, the difficulties, the problems, the pain, by any of these things. Because as the people of God, we are called to walk by faith, not by sight. And remember, we said that walking by faith means seeing things from God's perspective and then acting accordingly. And I think that's something we all want to do. This is what God wants from us. And we can only see things from His perspective through a close, intimate relationship with Him. So let's focus on that. Enjoy the other things He's blessed us with, but remember that there's an ultimate reality that is so much better than we could ever imagine. That's why the old song, "When We All Get to Heaven," what a day of rejoicing that will be. I'm looking forward to that, aren't you? So let's walk by faith, not by sight.